You are listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. It's Mackenzie, and I'm here with Kathy.
Hey, everyone.
Today, we are really excited to talk about the famous Wine and Chili Festival that's happening in September. Kathy, do you want to go ahead and introduce our guest to let us know who even makes this event possible?
Absolutely. So with us today, we have Andres Nuno. He is with En Fuego Events, and he actually, I think, started coming to our events years ago and then developed an event company, and now he actually runs our events. So he's become a friend, and I just couldn't be happier to work with this company on our events that we produce here at the Buellton Chamber and Visitors Bureau. So yeah, everybody meet Andres.
All right. Thank you. That was an awesome introduction, Kathy. I hope I live up to the hype.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I really appreciate you guys having us. And I will start with, I absolutely love working with Kathy and the Buellton Chamber, and the city of Buellton in general has become basically our second home.
Perfect. Well, thanks for that introduction, Kathy and Andres. We are, like I said, super happy to kind of learn about the events, your company, and specifically the Wine and Chili Fest that's happening soon. So first off, do you want to tell us a little bit about your events company, how that was started?
Yeah, so I used to work for a surf magazine. I was the director of Deep Surf Magazine. It's kind of how I met Kathy, and we would run ads for her Buellton Brew Fest. And one year we did a welcome party for sponsors and friends in Santa Barbara. And it was, I think there was 10 breweries, there was some bands playing, some a couple of food vendors. And everybody was super excited about being there and asked us if we were doing it again next year. And so I thought of taking it to the next level and doing something in our hometown of Carpinteria. So we started Surf and Suds Beer Festival in 2013. And we had one event in 2013. And fast forward to 2021, we're managing 14 events this year for several different nonprofits. And Kathy was our first client that we ever had. I talked her into giving us a shot to do the Buellton Brew Fest. And here we are. I think it's been 8 years. Or maybe it's been 7 years.
I think maybe seven. We were trying to think about this the other day. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We never looked back.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I'm sure Kathy is very grateful for your help. It seems like it's been a very successful event and something that people look forward to every year.
Absolutely.
For me, it's one of my favorite events that we do because it just has a different feel from other events that we have, because there's just a different feel in the city of Buellton. People are so excited to visit Buellton all the time. And they come from all over the place to do so. Plus, the locals absolutely love the event. And so it's been really nice to get going with our business with Kathy and the Buellton Brew Fest. And then we brought the Buellton Wine and Chili Festival back the following year, which had taken kind of a hiatus. And we were super excited about that event. And that thing has kind of just really taken off since then as well.
Great. Well, Kathy, do you want to give us a little introduction about the Wine and Chili Fest, when it is, what people should look forward to?
Yeah. So this year, so we have, with COVID, of course, all things changed. And normally this event runs in the spring, usually in the month of March. And this year, we're actually going to do it in September 2021, September 12th. We do it on a Sunday. And the purpose for that is we want people to extend their stay through the weekend. So we get a lot of Friday, Saturday night stays, and then people check out. But we wanted to go ahead and host an event on a Sunday where we could extend their stay one more night and help our local economy and our hotels and lodging properties. Normally, this event takes place at Flying Flags RV Resort, and it's a fabulous destination in itself, but then also it offers a great venue for this event. So people can stay right there and camp and come to the event. It's really a lot of fun. So this year, September, though, because the campground is extremely busy and had to postpone a lot of their events from last year and push them into this year, they didn't have the space for us to host it there this year, but we are moving it to one of our great parks here in Buellton called Riverview Park. And we'll be holding this event there, which is still going to be a great venue. We're going to have a wonderful feel there and spread out in the open space, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And we have live music and chili cooks and contestants, and we have judging that takes place, vendors. People come from all over. They get a souvenir wine glass. They get to go around and taste all of our local wines, and we have beer and spirits as well. So just a fabulous event. We've people didn't think chili and wine went together, but once we put it out there, they've realized that, hey, it's not so bad. So anyhow, it's a great event we've been doing now. And with Andres, they've just brought a whole new layer to it and a lot of fun. It's great for families of all ages can come. The kids can come and have a good time as well. So we're looking forward to it. So it's this year, September 12th, and it's coming up soon. So people can go on and we can talk about how they get their tickets and stuff later on, maybe.
Yay. Well, that's so exciting. And I'm so happy that that event is coming up and that you can do that this year. One question I kind of have is, for this event, is this drawing people from all around California or out of state?
So what we've actually seen is it is kind of a really cool mix. And there's a lot of people that come from outside of the area and a lot of campers. So because it's generally held at Flying Flags RV Resort, which is a beautiful resort and it's family friendly, this event goes hand in hand. And so we have people who book their stay the day they're checking out. They're already booking their stay for the following year so that they can join us. So we're seeing a ton of people who are coming outside the area. We even have people, we've met a group from Lompoc who's just down the road, but they come down and they spend the entire weekend at Flying Flags because they love to camp. And even though it's just down the road and they could easily drive, they're deciding to come stay for the weekend. And they just love to camp. And then they're walking over to the Wine and Chili Fest. And then when it's over, they're kind of just walking back to their RV spot and they kind of enjoy the rest of the weekend. So we've seen a ton of locals enjoy the event because it's in their backyard. It's easily accessible. We have people coming from all over the San Ynez Valley. We have people bussed in. So we have a transportation service that'll pick guests up in the cities of Santa Barbara, Goleta, Santa Maria, and Lompoc, and brings them to the event. So if they don't have the ability to spend the night, they can jump on these shuttle over to the Wine and Chili Fest. And then after the event's over, they jump on the shuttles and head back home. So we really try to make it easy for anyone that lives in San Diego or Bakersfield or Orange County or Riverside or Fresno, which are cities that we see often. Those guys are easily coming down and spending the weekend, or if you could only come up for the day, they're doing that too. So it's a nice mix.
Great. Well, that's awesome. You're getting people from all over. You're providing the transportation and everything. Do you think it's difficult that it's not at Flying Flags this year, or is that okay?
I think people who are accustomed to just walking four steps to get to the festival, maybe they're going to be like, oh, that's too bad. But they still like to go camping, right? So they're not losing that aspect of the event. And it's just literally just down the road. It's 5 minutes down the road. So we are actually going to are working on providing shuttle service for those guests that are accustomed to just walking over, where a shuttle will simply stop in front of Flying Flags. They can jump on it. It'll take them over to the field and then drop them back off afterwards too. So I don't think so. I think this event is strong enough that we literally could move it over to Riverview Park if we wanted to forever, and it would still do really well. It just has such a strong following because you have the people who love the drinking portion. So we have wine, we have beer, cider, seltzer, we have cocktails. And then you have the foodies who love to go and try all the different chilies that people are cooking from the local restaurants and local community members. And then it's because it's family friendly, it makes it easy for mom and dad to enjoy some glasses of wine and some beer. And the kids can just smash on as much chili as they want so they don't have to buy lunch that day. So I think we will still get a strong turnout. We can hold more people at the new location, so that's a good thing for us. But I think we're looking forward to going back to Flying Flags because we love it there.
Great. Well, that makes sense. So maybe it's a good change. We'll hope to see how it goes. I hope it's a success for you. So that's great. Andres, I have a question for you. What's kind of your process planning this event? When did you have to start planning the event?
We started in 2019.
That's a good point. I'm sure you did.
It takes a while because there's a lot of different layers. So normally for events, I'm only dealing with like alcohol companies and vendors. and we have such a good list. We literally just tell them what the dates are. They sign up, and we always have a great turnout. This adds a little bit of a different wrinkle with inviting cooks. So we don't work with a lot of these cooks. We might work with a lot of food trucks. So getting the cooks for us is a big deal. We want local restaurants. We want local nonprofit groups. We want, you know, the guy next door who swears he has the best chili or the best salsa to come down, and they're all competing against each other. So it's not like there's a restaurant group or there's a community member one. So I would say, you know, we start with the foundation, which is making sure that we have enough wineries, and we usually like to be within 30 to 40, and that's wineries, breweries, and we have such a strong relationship with them, and the event speaks for itself, so it's not that hard to attain those. And then the vendors absolutely love the event because they do really well. It's a really good target audience for them. And then the cooks kind of fluctuate, right? Because some cooks who think they make the most amazing chili or salsa, maybe they didn't win last year, right? So they're like, oh, this is rigged. So we might lose a couple of cooks to that, but at the same time, there are more restaurants interested in joining us because they want to tell people about their restaurant in town and they want to showcase some of the food that they have. So it takes, I would say, about 6 months to get everything dialed in. And then as Kathy and I work together on getting it together, so we show up on Thursday to start setting the field up. On Friday, our stages are built, our shade structures are built, the tables are dropped off. And then once Saturday is kind of like a slower day for us because we're already done. And then once Sunday starts at 8 a.m. and we're loading in all these people and getting them to their spots, it seems like as soon as the event's over, we're like, wait, when did the event happen? Because it seemed like it was just a blur. True. It's almost like like people's weddings. You have all this planning that goes into it. And a few hours later, you're like, it's already over. Okay, now what do we do? Luckily for us, we go, okay, Kathy, let's start working on the Bealton Brew Fest. Right. Let's start getting that ready too. So there really is no stop. That's for sure.
Well, it sounds very busy, and it sounds like you have to be very organized and communicate with everyone. That's a lot of people to coordinate with.
Yeah, it's a good thing that Excel exists, and I have a lot of good spreadsheets going on.
That's great. Let's really dive deep now into the event and actually what happens and how people can participate. Kathy, tell us a little bit about the competitions, because I hear there's some competitions at this event.
There is. So they can compete in a few different categories. We have a red chili category, chili verde, and then salsa competition. We also do a booth showmanship. So we encourage our cooks and them to really get excited about it, come with a theme in mind. We've had some great themes through the last few years of teams like getting shirts made for their team and just going all out and decorating their booth. And the competition is fun. And there are some cash prizes involved. So for the winners, we do have cash prizes as well as bragging rights. So they get a certificate and they can hang it up, whether they're a restaurant or an individual. We do give certificates out to show that they won whatever category it is. So we award them for those different things. So we reach out for volunteers to help with, you know, many areas of the event, but one area in particular is judging. And of course, everybody wants to be a judge. And so at a certain time of the event, we will go around and gather the samples from all of the different cooks, and we bring them into an area where we have the judging take place. And then the judges do all the taste testing and figuring out who they feel should win the different categories. So it's all in fun. I know there are some very serious and like sanctioned chili competitions out there. We tried that a couple of years, but we want to have fun. We don't want to be intense like that. We just want everybody to come out and have a good time. And it is a little intense, especially when we want to get our local restaurants and cooks involved. I mean, there are people that travel that whole chili sanction circuit, but we really wanted to get our locals involved in it too, and not be too complicated to where they, you know, is like, oh, we don't want to do this. So we make it easy to participate. People come, they cook on site. It smells wonderful in the mornings. They get their grills and pots and things going, and onions, all kinds of stuff that's going in. So it smells really good when you walk into the event. And So that's kind of the competition. And salsa the same way. We have a great sponsor called Taco Works. They're based out of San Luis Obispo, a town about north of us, about an hour. And they make these great chips. And so these are what we use and the judges use. And we give to all the guests that they can go around and dip with their salsa. So we just make it fun. It's a relaxed environment. We want the cooks to have fun and come back. We don't want to make it too stressful on them either. So we encourage them to have fun and just get energetic, get their team out there, get their employees or friends or whoever, and participate.
Wow. Delicious. Sounds like a lot of good food all in one day.
It is.
Yeah. And there's also a competition for all the wineries and breweries on site too.
Yep, that's right. We did start that. So white wine, red wine, or your favorite craft brew. So people get to judge. We do like a people's choice as well for those. So we do that in a couple different ways. We've done tickets in a bucket where they tear a ticket off and put it in a bucket. And we've also done it in a digital format too. So that's really fun because then everybody attending can get involved in the judging as well. So the cash prize is where we have our volunteer judges judging those particular areas. And then the people's choice is where everybody at the event gets a chance to judge for their favorite or vote for their favorite, whether it be wine, beer, or chili or salsa. So we do have a people's choice category as well.
That's great. Am I allowed to ask what your guys' favorites are? Have you even had a chance to try any? You're probably busy.
It's usually cold by the time I get to try anything.
I'm sure.
I mean, it's like.
Basically, Kathy and I get a try. The
leftover samples.
The competitors put it into like a large cup is what it looks like. And all the judges kind of get to put their samples off that. And so whatever's left in those cups is what we get to try at the very end when everyone's gone.
Yummy.
But it actually is really good. Even cold, it's still good. So I can only imagine what it tastes like when it comes, you know, when it's off the table.
Yeah. That's one thing about doing events. A lot of times you get through the day and you're like, I didn't eat or drink anything yet. Like, I don't even know. So yeah, at the end of the day is when we get to go around and grab our samples and taste what's left.
That totally makes sense. And I was just about to say that. And I liked your comparison to weddings, Andres, because I just got married last year and that was our experience. We were really hungry at the end of the day.
Yeah, right. You basically just threw the party and everyone else had enjoyed it and you were stressed about everything in between.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of competition that people can get involved with. Is it locals participating and just visitors that are coming just specifically for the event that are participating?
I think on the alcohol side, you're going to see a lot of wineries from the area. We're lucky. We have an incredible abundance of amazing wineries from the Santa Rita Hills that are just down the road from Buellton, as well as heading more into the San Ynez Valley. And then you have a lot of great craft breweries that are in the immediate area. You have some distilleries that are from Buellton. And so the alcohol portion is a lot of them are directly from there. And then you'll have a couple of people come from outside the area. The cooks, they're a little bit of a mixture. So you're going to have some local restaurants, but you also have a lot of individual cooks or just community members that come from outside the area to join us. And we've had competitors who are serious chili cooks and compete. And they come all the way from San Diego or Los Angeles. And they just love to come because they're campers. So they get to go camping for the weekend and also get to make their chili. So it's a nice mixture. I would say most of the alcohol companies, though, are directly from the immediate area. And that speaks a lot about what you can try here in Buellton in the San Ynez Valley.
Well, I love that visitors and locals can all participate. That's probably a great mix for those that love cooking, love camping. It's not such a serious competition, like Kathy was saying. It's more just fun. It's family friendly, so everyone can join in. Besides the wine and beer and the chili, what other kind of vendors or music can people look forward to when they're there?
Well, the vendors is a little bit of everything. We have vendors who are handcrafted artisans who make whatever it is that they're selling, whether it be jewelry. There's people who sell like leather goods, like purses and belts. And then there's people who also sell like their own salsas that they make. That they're selling in stores. There's people who make rubs. And then you have items for children. So it's a little bit of everything. They know the vendors are really good about knowing their audience. So they ask us a lot of questions of, you know, who's coming, what are the age groups, what are they looking for? So you can literally find anything you want. And we're pretty selective on the vendors we have. We have so many vendor requests that it is nice for us to be able to choose who's there and make sure that there's not 14 different vendors that all sell the exact same thing, right? We want to kind of have a little bit of everything so you can walk around and see them everywhere. And they're not just in one section. They're mixed in with the chili cooks. They're mixed in with the alcohol booths. So you're kind of walking around the entire area and looking at everything. It's actually really fun and nice. And I purchased some stuff myself when we're, when I'm walking around. And then as far as the music, so this year we have two bands playing. We have the Vineyard Birds, who are a local kind of classic rock band from the San Ynez Valley. They're really, really good. And then we have another band that's played with us a few times, and they're called the Dusty Jugs. It's more country, but they also double up as another band called the Rincons, and that's a little bit more classic rock and kind of bluegrass stuff. So it's one band, but I asked them to play both styles of music. They mainly focus on their country since we already have the Vineyard Birds playing with us. And then we have a DJ who kind of mixes in the music in between. His name's DJ FIU. He's actually a cousin of mine that lives in San Jose. And his family comes down every single year to the Wine and Chili Fest to stay the weekend. And he asked me if he could DJ since he's already coming down. So we have a little bit of everything for everyone. And we have music from the moment you walk onto that field to the time that you leave. There's music being played for you to enjoy.
Sounds like a party. Sounds really fun.
It's a good party.
It is good.
Kathy, what has been your favorite part with music and vendors? Does anything stand out to you from the events over the years?
Yeah, I think, you know, the music can make an event. I think that's what brings everybody together. And of course, you know, after they've had a few glasses of wine or when they've been eating, and then they get up and dance and just have fun. So it's just great seeing, for me, when I can see smiles on faces, we know we've succeeded in putting on a good event, you know, when people are out there having a good time and enjoying their day. And then the vendors, we've got great vendors, and they really do appreciate our events. They work with Andres on a lot of his other events as well. So they know that we're going to produce a really good event and we're going to get people there to attend. And that's the main thing. They want to know that they're going to be selling and have people there, you know, to sell too. So it's been great. A lot of them are return vendors for us, and they do have some really good quality products. Some things you'll see too are made out of, you know, wine bottles or beer bottles or whatever too. So they kind of tie into the events that we throw as well, which is kind of neat to see. Just different people's creativity and what they're crafting. And who knows, after COVID, a lot of people got into crafting and doing things. So we might see some really fun things come out this year.
Well, it sounds like there's variety and a lot of uniqueness. So that's perfect. One question I have for Andres is, I want to give you a chance to kind of highlight your company a little bit and Fuego Events, just an overall view of what services you guys provide and kind of what area. Are you just in Santa Barbara County or kind of all throughout the area?
We are a full service event management company. So basically, I handle events for nonprofit groups and I treat them as if they're my own. So I pretend that their budget is money coming directly out of my pocket. So we do everything from hiring the security guards, acquiring the field rental, permits, janitorial service, music, the sound technician, the tables and chairs, and we literally do everything from A to Z in terms of getting an event ready. And then also, because we do so many events in the area, we have a nice group of vendors that we let them know about all these different events so that they can join us at all of them. And it helps the nonprofits create some additional revenue through those vendor fees, as well as food trucks. So we actually work from Ventura County clear up to San Luis Obispo County. So the furthest south we go, we have an event in Ventura. And then the furthest north, we just started doing events in the city of Atascadero. But a lot of our, you know, Kathy really has been a huge catalyst for our business. She has a lot of connections in the San Ynez Valley with other nonprofit groups. And so a lot of our business is actually in the San Ynez Valley. So the city of Buellton, We do events in the city of Solvang. We do events, well, basically out throughout the entire San Ynez Valley. We do a big event called Taste of the San Ynez Valley that encompasses all the cities in the valley. But, you know, we love Kathy, so we do two events for Kathy. We are just announcing a new event that we're bringing to the city of Buellton. That's going to be a big three-day event as well that's starting this year in November. So Atascadero has been another kind of one of those cities that's a lot like Buellton where they just really want to bring fun events. They've seen what we've done for them with other events and basically said, if you have another event idea, bring it to us. We'll support it and we'll try to, we want to make it happen here. You know, it's been nice. I live in Carpinteria, born and raised, and that's where we started our business. But we only have one event here. And that's okay with me because I like where we have kind of set up shop and the clients, we're able to help a lot of different nonprofit groups. So right now we have seven different clients and they're all nonprofit groups. So, you know, what we do is help them raise money that they really, really need over the course of the year. And this is their primary fundraisers for these events that they do.
Thanks for that overview. Where can we reach you if someone's wanting to schedule an event and they're in the area?
Yeah, so they can go to our website. It's Events by En Fuego, and that's Events by, and it's ENFUEGO.com. And they can go and contact us through there and see a little bit of what we do, all the events that we host. And we kind of do a little bit of everything. We just started doing some cool reggae shows in Santa Barbara. We do a lot of festivals. Now we're starting to do a bunch of multi-day events as well, too. So I'll do an event for 500 people, and I'll do an event for up to 20,000 people. We basically have a cool model that works for us, and it doesn't really matter what the occupancy is. We can make it work for that nonprofit.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we close, I just want to ask Kathy, where can we get the tickets for the Wine and Chili Fest?
Yeah, so people can log on to BuelltonWineAndChiliFestival.com. It's all spelled out. And on there, they'll see the purchase ticket button pops up right away on the homepage. So they can go on there and grab their tickets. And there's for adults and kids. And I hope they do it. They won't be sorry. It's a great event. And again, at Riverview Park, you know, bring their lawn chairs, their blankets, just enjoy the day. There's plenty of room to spread out. We have lawn games that we bring in, like cornhole, and we call it beer pong, mega beer pong, I guess. Beer pong. So anyhow, we have a lot of fun events or fun activities for them to do while they're there. So definitely log on to BuelltonWineAndChiliFestival.com and they can purchase their tickets. It's live and it's up today.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Thanks, Andreas, for joining us. I loved learning how you make the Buellton events possible. If any of you are looking for experts in event planning, it looks like En Fuego has you covered. So check out their website to get something scheduled with them. As a reminder, the Buellton Wine and Chili Fest is Sunday, September 12th from 12 to 4:30 p.m. at Riverview Park. And like you said, you can purchase the tickets at BuelltonWineAndChiliFest.com. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review, and we'll talk to you next time. This has been another episode of the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Mackenzie Felstead and produced by Relic.